What a surprise! We are here again!
Hey guys, this is Radio Achwelle, the student radio of the University of Applied Sciences in Vorarlberg. My name is Pia and I will guide you through the next 30 minutes. Thanks for tuning into our show. Today we are talking about borders. The cities of Dornbirn, Hohenems, Bregenz and Feldkirch. Think loud about applying for a European cultural city in 2024. One aspect of this one-year event would be to overcome borders, real ones and in our minds. Now, which borders can there be on this planet? Visible borders, for example, like the one between US and Mexico, or the external frontier of Europe, which makes it hard for refugees to come here, or the borders we have in our conscience. I talked to students from the university about personal borders and mental borders.
Yeah, my personal limit is public speech. And I think it's really cool to try to overcome it.
Do you think that our personal limits prevent us to get to know new people?
I would say that my personal limits never prevented me from getting to know new people. Actually, they want me to keep connecting and getting to know new perspectives.
Absolutely not. Because our limits are something that keep us together in groups. I think a group that has the same limits will kind of stay together to work on that limit, maybe. So it's more the other way around, that limits help us to connect with people and to find people who are like-minded.
To set limits means to say no. In which situation do you clearly say no?
I can't really name you a specific situation, but easily said, like, situations to which I clearly say no are the ones who my brain and my heart just both say no. And afterwards, yeah, mostly I'm more than glad that I made the right decision. But then there are certain moments in life to which I say no, and limit myself, but in the end I force myself, or mostly someone else forces me, to do it, and afterwards I'm like, yeah, I'm so glad I did it.
In which situation do you feel harassed by unknown people?
I have something like a comfort zone, and deeply inside that zone, like very closer to me, is my personal zone. And in this like personal zone is there my core values, things I absolutely believe in. And when someone gets in talking or something very close to that zone, it gets interesting, because that would decide if I like that person, or if I come along with that person, or if I do not come along with this person. And I feel harassed by a person if he tackles this like super personal zone of my core values without actually knowing me, and kind of talks bullshit about that stuff. That really harasses me.
I feel harassed when I'm driving, or when people on the street are driving and other drivers are getting very annoyed and yelling and being very annoyed that this person in front of him is driving too slow. This teaching thing, how it's better for you to act, and then getting very aggressive.
Sometimes you have your own limits and borders, but sometimes other people set limits for you and you have to come along with them. My fellow student Viola talks to a young talented girl who also had the challenge to overcome certain limits.
It's a great honor for me to introduce you to a young, very talented woman, Tyler. Hi, Tyler.
Hi.
Tyler, as I know, you started playing the piano with 8 years. That must have been a long journey to become such a proficient piano player. Can you tell us something of the challenges you faced in order to learn the piano and sing with such emotion?
It was hard for me to keep up with practicing sometimes, so after a couple of years I took a break for 2 years, and then I decided to come back to the music because I'm really passionate about it, and I started again.
Oh, that must have been a challenge to start again.
Well, yeah, because I had a new teacher and it was hard to warm up with each other at first, and I had to play easy songs to get back to it, but after a while it worked really well.
So you broke down your fears and borders.
Yep.
So enough talking, let's do some music. Tyler, which song are we going to hear now?
We are here from Alicia Keys. We are here. We are here for all of us. We are here for all of us. That's why we are here. Why we are here. We are here. Bums over Baghdad, trying to get something we never had. Let's start with a good dad. It's so real, but it's so sad. And while we're burning this incense, we're gonna pray for the innocent. Cause right now it don't make sense. Right now it don't make sense. Let's talk about Chi-Town. Let's talk about Gaza. Let's talk about Israel. Cause right now it is real. Let's talk Nigeria and the mass hysteria, yeah. Our souls are brought together so that we could love each other, brother. We are here. We are here for all of us. We are here for all of us. That's why we are here. Why we are here. We are.
This song really touched my heart. Is there any personal reason why you chose this song?
Well, because of the things that are happening today in this world, it hits me really hard. I have no personal experiences with that topic, but I think we should all grow a little more humanity, and because we are all here.
Yeah, that's right. You're exactly right. So I heard that you stayed in the USA for 11 months.
Yes.
Okay. What have you experienced there regarding borders in mind and culture?
Well, sometimes it happened that as soon as people knew that I'm from another country, they started to treat me like a 5-year-old child. And they started to speak really slow, and they didn't trust me enough to do things by myself, especially when it comes to tasks we need to do in school. So I had to overcome those borders and show them that I'm able to do good work and that I'm not a 5-year-old mm-hmm, child.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So we see borders can be everywhere, even if they are not visible. You just have to be brave enough to overcome them. So now we are gonna listen to a song by a very remarkable man who always believed in the power of humanity.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for. no religion too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you will join us. Imagine no possession. I wonder if you can. No need for greed or hunger. A brotherhood of men. Imagine all the people dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you will join us and the world will be as one.
Okay, all right. Thank you for being here, Tyler. And if you want to see beautiful Tyler live, go watch her performance at Konrad Zoom on the
May 13th.
Okay, guys, here is Pia again. Now let's talk about Matada. Matada originally comes from Iraq. Years ago, he flew to Australia, but then he got pushed out again of the country. Today, he lives in Vorarlberg and studies at the University of Applied Sciences. Lucy, our incoming student from Australia, talked to him and tells us the whole story.
Hi, my name's Lucy. I'm an Erasmus student from Australia studying at the FHV, and today I'm speaking to Matada.
Well, my name is Matada Al-Husseini, so Matada is my first name, Al-Husseini is my family name. I born in Iraq, in Kirkuk, north of Iraq, but a little bit north, but I grew up in Baghdad city.
Matada is a refugee of whom fled Iraq in 2013 with the hopes of finding asylum in Australia and of whom eventually found safety within Vorarlberg.
I was working in Iraq, a little bit dangerous job, so I had a problem with the terrorists and the government couldn't support me or couldn't protect me there, so I had to seek asylum in another country. And I organized it with a smuggler that I fly to Malaysia. From Malaysia, he took me illegal to Indonesia. From Indonesia, also, there was another smuggler there, and I also had to pay money again for him. And he took me illegal with a boat, with a group of people from Indonesia to Australia. And this trip took about 7 months till I reached Australia.
Due to Australia's half-refugee and immigration policies, when Matada arrived, he was instead met with deportation to refugee processing camps.
But they transferred all the new asylum seekers to Papua New Guinea,
yes,
to a small island called Manus Island. And they locked up there about 2,000 refugees, I think, something like that. And actually, till this moment where we're speaking now, there is refugees locked up in this island.
Tata, along with thousands of other refugees, were treated to inhumane conditions and manipulation.
It's disaster. I simply say it's disaster. Mm-hmm. A lot of disease. A lot of people get scabies. Mm-hmm. You know, the skin disease. Yeah. They were treated as really bad. Most of the time they speak really racist with us. Like, you are Muslim, you have to go back to your country. There's no place to you here. We were getting 3 meals a day. Most of the time the bread, the food was really expired food. And you can see a lot of wavels in the bread and all this stuff. And when we say, hey, we don't like this, or we don't eat this food, for example, by the vegetarian people, or someone a vegan doesn't eat this food, or someone allergic to this food, it's absolutely not their problems. They say, that's the food, if you want to eat it, eat it. If you don't want, go back to your camp. And it's not really a camp, it's a tent,
yeah,
with 50 people.
the government would manipulate the refugees in any way to convince them to go back to the places that they had fled from in order to not grant them refugee status in Australia.
Everything they do, it just seems go back. Even they were bringing some workers from Arabic countries. They speak in Arabic language, or they speak in Bengali language because there's Bangladesh people there, or Farsi because there's Iranian people there. They were bringing some workers from these nationalities, and they were trying to get close to us, and then they tell us, you know, brother, there is no hope here. Go back, please. There is really no hope here. Don't waste your time. Well, they bring a lot of posters and photos and offers us money. Like, for example, a father hugging his children and say, hey, your family is waiting for you. Why you don't go back? The situation here is too bad. There is no hope here. They give us some news about what's happening in Papua New Guinea. How high the percentage to get malaria or to get some heart disease? How high is the percentage to get some mental disease when you stay in Australia, in this refugee camp? How is the decisions of Australia, which is will never change? How is the reports from the human rights, from the Red Cross, which is they don't care about refugees? I think it was fake news or fake papers, something like that.
Contrary to what the refugees were told, there were regular protests on the street and in government institutions to close the camps.
What was happening there that they were offering us a lot of money to go back.
Really?
Like for Iraqis, they offered to us $6,500 to go back. They organized the whole way to go back and they paid the tickets, they paid everything, and then they give us $6,500. I had a speech with this organization and I said, what will happen if anything happened to me there in Iraq? Who can guarantee my safety? And they said, that's not our responsibility.
After leaving the refugee camp on Papua New Guinea, Murtado eventually found himself back in Iraq. However, fearing for his life, he began the arduous journey to Europe and eventually Austria.
I fled legally from Iraq to Turkey. And from Turkey, I had to take a boat illegally with a smuggler, of course, and had to pay money to Greece with 50 people. And from Greece, I had to walk the whole way down to here, till here.
After crossing from Iraq, Turkey, Greece, Albania, Macedonia, Serbia, Hungary, and eventually Austria, I inquired to him about his thoughts towards the free movement of the European Union.
Well, actually, I feel jealous, seriously. Because I realized that here in Europe, there's different countries and they're speaking different languages, different traditions, everything is different here. And they just took the borders away. You can go freely everywhere. And I feel jealous and ashamed at the same time because I'm an Arabic man and we have a lot of Arabic countries. We speak the same language. We have similar religion, the same language, similar traditions actually. And we have really strict borders there. I'm really proud of the European Union that they have these things here. I wish, it's my message all the time I say it to people. When you look at the earth, you see no borders. We are the human, we made these borders.
After arriving in Austria, Murtado began his education to become a youth worker.
After I finished my education, I became the first Iraqi man who had the diploma for the youth working in Austria.
Murtado and I are currently sitting in the youth centre that he works at here in Dornbirn.
Well, my responsibility here, it's just simply I'm a youth worker. I speak with kids. I'm trying to help kids with their own problems. If they would like to let me know it or if they ask me for help. I try to show them different ways. I don't tell them which way is the right way because maybe it's right for me, but it's not right for them. I just show them the ways and they are free to choose which ways.
Even so, Murtado still faces racial profiling and discrimination by a minority of people in Vorarlberg.
Unfortunately, those people, they don't really know what they are doing. They are afraid from refugees and they have some hard feelings against refugees, but they don't really know who's the refugees. I mean, I've met a lot of people. At the first time, they were really afraid from me. But as they start to speak with me, they start to get connect with me, I've changed completely their mind. I have a girlfriend here in Austria, and she's an Austrian girl. And every time I was with her, a lot of people from her friends were telling her, don't walk with him, he's a refugee, he's a Muslim, he will make you Muslim, he will make you wear a hijab, he will change your life, he will control you. And actually, she changed my life.
All right, so we heard that Murtado studies here at our university. My fellow student Wolfgang wanted to know how difficult it is for refugees to get a college place at our FH. He met Florian Rieder, who organizes all the bureaucracy surrounding this issue.
This program has been running for about 16 months now, so we started in February 2016, and the program is an invitation for people that have fled their country due to a war crisis and which have acquired an academic degree or have ambitions to do so at the FH Vorarlberg.
Okay, thank you. How many refugees are currently studying at the FHV?
At the moment, we have about 20 extraordinary students that are studying in my program. They are usually in the status of an extraordinary student, and applications to become ordinary students are coming up in May in the regular phase for the courses. And we have had about 150 interviews with interested parties. There were about 50 men and about 10 women who wanted a position in the program. A lot of the people coming from a war zone will not have their legal documents with them. That means that they had to flee their country and were not able to contact their university for their degrees or prior documents. So often they come empty-handed, and we try to recreate their educational background by a certain document that we call the background paper that gives the student the opportunity to recreate his academic successes. That means that we are asking for specific seminars or lectures that the student may have attended in the specific field of their interest, and they also describe how they were about their performance records and what was the content, what were the learning outcomes. And by being as specific as possible, it's easy for the head of the study program, for example, to follow the path of education. And that is a really helpful and good instrument for this situation.
What are extraordinary students exactly?
In general, in the academic sector, extraordinary students are students who are not part of the regular classes, so they have not had an application process and they have not yet been fully accepted to the study program. In the university sector, that is quite a regular thing that different people will just visit lectures or Vorlesungen, as we call them in German, because they're interested in broadening their academic horizon. And this opportunity is good for refugees because we can allow them to participate in certain courses, and they may do some exams, just tryouts to see how they manage to follow with the language. They can build a certain vocab that is necessary to the specific study program. They get to know professors, they get to know students, they get to know the daily routine at the FH, and that usually helps them a lot to improve their language and professional skills a lot.
Okay, Florian, thank you very much for the conversation and all the best for the program in the future.
Thank you so much. Thanks for taking the time to join me.
Imagine you are a refugee. You're far away from home. Probably you miss your family and friends. Don't you think it would help you to be part of a community? To interact with people who experienced the same story? My fellow student Toby asked two refugee students how they feel about Vorarlberg and how studying at our university has impacted the integration into Austrian society.
Well, hello, my name is Tobias and I'm sitting here in the studio next to Rasan, a refugee student at the FH Vorarlberg. Would you quickly introduce yourself?
Hello, Tobias. Hello, everybody. I'm Rasan. I'm actually from Syria. I was born in Damascus and then I came to Austria as a refugee in the year 2014. Here in Austria, I'm doing my master program in the direction of intercultural social work.
All right. And how do you like it here in Austria?
I find it actually very interesting here on the University of Applied Science of Vorarlberg, the Fachhochschule. The lecturers are actually highly qualified. The teaching methods and teaching instruments are quite modern. What I like also a lot is the friendliness of my co-students. They try always to help me a lot, especially when it comes to dialect.
Nice. All right. Sadly, we are a bit short in time today, but do you have any last quick advice for other refugees and how to start their lives here?
Start learning the language from the first day, because language is the key for your integration in terms of social integration, in terms of job market and other things. And what I advise the newcomers here is that please stay positive and be always optimistic. There is always a chance, and you can find it. It needs time.
Oh, wow. Very inspirational words, Rassan. Well, thank you so much for coming and have a nice day.
Thank you. Thanks, Tobias.
Our second guest today is Ahmed from Afghanistan. Ahmed, would you like to introduce yourself?
Thank you so much for your invitation. My name is Ahmed. I'm about 23 years old and I come from Afghanistan. I'm about 2 years here in Austria. And I'm a student here in bachelor degree of intermediate in second semester.
And Ahmed, how do you like it here in Austria and studying at the FFV?
The life is too much nice here in Austria. And I feel so much better here. And the study is going so good. Well, but at first I had some problem with Dutch language and I couldn't understand all the things.
Yeah.
Then the teacher always support me and they helped me. My classmates asked me also all the time when I had some problems, I can share with them and they helped me. And
nice.
It's going so well.
Well, Ahmed, thank you for your time and for your honest words. And
welcome.
Have a nice day.
Thank you so
thank
much,
you.
Also.
All right, guys, time is over. We hope you enjoyed our show and that we've given you new insights into the journey of refugees. Have we changed your perception on this topic? Anyway, thank you for listening. We'll end our show with Hallelujah.
There was a secret chord that David played and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do ya? Well, it goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall and the major lift. The baffled king composing hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Her faith was strong, but she needed proof. You saw her bathing on the roof, her beauty and the moonlight overthrew ya. She tied you to her kitchen chair. She broke your throne and she cut your hair. And from your lips she drew the hallelujah.